Iowa's environment is the focus of the rest of the hour here on River to River from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer, along with Joyce Russell. Joyce Russell, our Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent, at the State House Law Library today. Mondays during the legislative session, we like to focus on bills and issues that Iowa lawmakers are debating, grappling with. That's what we're doing this Monday as well. And this half hour, we want to look at the environment. Joyce, you have a guest there as well at the Law Library, Ralph Rosenberg, Executive Director of the Iowa Environmental Council. Ralph Rosenberg, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having us.
I want to talk a list of priorities that you have here, bills and so forth. But Joyce, I think we wanted to talk first of all about the program that goes by the acronym REAP, Resource Enhancement and Protection. Can you give us some background on what's been happening there and a little bit of the history?
I can, but you know what? Ralph Rosenberg was in the legislature when that was passed.
Was he? Okay. Then let's go to Ralph. Ralph, tell us about REAP, Resource Enhancement and Protection. What is it there for? What has it been doing?
Well, REAP was a bipartisan measure that was passed in the late 1989, and signed by Governor Branstad. And its view is we want to have a continuous flow of money for soil and water quality, for parks, for trails, for wildlife areas, for conservation, for historic resource protection, for roadside beautification, for public land management. It really was a laundry list of items that had been really on the verge of being neglected. And so REAP passed, and it was signed with quite a bit of fanfare, plus there was an entire effort made through REAP to bring in people in all 99 counties to get invested, and they were. And that's why REAP has such great statewide impact. You can go on one of the websites, and you can see all the projects in every one of the 99 counties where our environment's been helped, our economy's been helped, and our quality of life's been helped.
Mm-hmm. Now, last year, I understand the legislative session for the first time in history approved full funding for REAP. It had only been partially funded up to that point?
Right. There was a goal, the goal was to achieve this funding of at least $20 million. The legislature last year, again, it was bipartisan, supported it, and the legislation included full funding at 20. Now, as it turned out, the governor, using his constitutional powers, did an item veto to reduce that to existing funding as well. People that support REAP still want it to go to 20 because there's still a need to protect those items, water quality and parks and trails, that still remain underfunded.
Mm-hmm. And I'll just jump in here and say that some of the REAP funding was in a last-minute spending bill. And in the end, when the governor got all the bills on his desk, he vetoed a lot of funding for lots of things, as much as $180 million. And he gave some rationale for that, and that is that state revenues had started in between the time those bills were passed and actually, and he was signing them. That was part of the rationale that he gave for that.
Certainly. I think when you deal with the state legislature and our budget, you always have priorities and you always have these uncertainties about money. I think that's one of the reasons people that care about environment and natural resources have pushed for sustainable funding measures. Now, REAP is sustainable in the sense that the legislature has a target in it. There's another sustainable called the IWIL, which was constitutionally passed several years ago, and it's even has a stronger sense of sustainability. And that's partly because of what Joyce said, is that sometimes there's the variables of funding, so that if you can come up with not just an identified source of funding for clean water and parks and trails, but also an identified permanent sense, because remember, the IWIL was passed through a constitutional amendment.
You're using an acronym there. Say it out.
Iowa's Water and Land Legacy. I apologize.
Iowa Water and Land Legacy. Okay.
And so that when what Joyce refers to is the reality of politics, and it's because we may run out of money, as Joyce talked about, after the legislature convenes in January, the budget goes down. So you have these battles over priorities. The people who support our rivers and our lakes and our streams and wetlands fought pretty hard to get this trust fund passed. It's a constitutional amendment. And that we hope that this transcends, and it is bipartisan. There are people in both parties that support this. mm-hmm. but it's not funded.
Okay, let's reach out to our listeners at this point to remind those who've just joined us that our guest this half hour, Ralph Rosenberg, Executive Director of the Iowa Environmental Council. That's an alliance of organizations and individuals working to protect Iowa's natural environment. Of course, Iowa Public Radio Statehouse correspondent Joyce Russell with us as well as we discuss environmental issues and reaching out to you. What do you think the Iowa legislature should have for its top environmental priorities? Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. You can also write us a message on Facebook, Iowa Public Radio's Facebook page, or tweet us at IPR Talk, our email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. What is the current status of REAP funding then?
There are proposals in the legislature to increase the sales tax to fund IWIL, and that's the most active one right now. When it comes to REAP, the public is still waiting to hear what the appropriations bills are going to look like, which might be this week. Perhaps Joyce knows. So the REAP is an annual appropriation. And so the legislature gets recommendations from the governor. The governor recommends a certain amount of money. And then the legislature has the option to increase or decrease that amount of money. What we haven't seen yet is what the legislature is going to recommend for REAP spending. So mm-hmm. we don't know yet.
Do you know how much the governor has recommended?
A status quo for REAP.
Which is 15 or
16 million.
16 million.
Okay, so $4 million shy of the full funding.
Right, and so we're certainly hoping that the legislature can find additional money to bring REAP up to its goal, again, to meet the unmet needs, because there still are impaired waters in Iowa. There still are a loss of wetlands. There still is a loss of habitat. So we want that to go up to $20 million. We just have to wait. The public may even read about it this week, depending upon when the appropriations bills come out.
I wonder if we can talk about water quality. That's been a topic in the news lately, Ralph Rosenberg. After years of mounting frustration, the utility, the Des Moines Water Works, has sued the leaders of three rural Iowa counties. This happened just last month. The lawsuit says too little has been done to prevent nitrates from flowing out of farm fields into the Raccoon River and eventually into the drinking water supply for roughly 500,000 Iowans in the Des Moines area, and the suit is seeking to make farmers comply with federal clean water standards for nitrates that apply to factories and commercial users and requests unspecified damages. I would like your take on this lawsuit. Do you support it?
Well, the concerns are legitimate. I mean, the concerns over water quality have been documented. So I think it's really important for people to see to agree on what those concerns are, that there are real threats to water quality across the state. And I think there's also a need to express the sense of urgency over it. And that is that the public has been waiting to see measurable progress, you know, that it somehow documents it. Here's the progress we're making in this watershed or in that watershed. I don't think the public's not looking, and we're not looking to identify individual farmers. But what we want to see is identify where progress is or not. And we're not seeing that progress. So I can understand where people who are frustrated take certain efforts, use certain tactics to bring some urgency to it. But there's another thing going on. And there's a nutrient reduction strategy, which was proposed about 3 years ago by the Iowa Department of Agriculture Stewardship, along with put together with ag commodity groups and Iowa State University. And it lays out variety of strategies to address the source of our threat to our water, which is primarily, not totally, but primarily non-point source, primarily ag. And we think it's voluntary. And we think for this voluntary to work, it has to be strengthened. And that's one of the things our council has been working on. We think there needs to be adequate funding for it, and we actually think there's inadequate money going into the nutrient reduction strategy. We also think that money should be held accountable. We say, okay, what's going on? How's this money being spent? And let's see some monitoring, where the waters in Iowa are being cleaned up and where they're not being cleaned, and then we can adjust where the funding goes. And that's what we're pushing right now. And I think with the if there was more progress or more efforts to monitor and show the results, I think the public would come together more and even support perhaps even additional funding, which, again, we're short for that. We admit there's not enough money in the nutrient reduction strategy.
Is that that's not in the governor's budget, I assume?
The governor recommends, I think it's $3 million for the water quality initiative. It's in the RIF bill. And the rest of it is stable. We just think it's inadequate because you're looking at millions of dollars of acres, and all the funding is able to avail is to deal with is perhaps a couple hundred thousand acres a year. And we need a much more broad base cross statewide effort to address non-point source.
I do know that the governor has increased water quality spending in his budget the last couple of years, I think. Where has that money gone?
Well, some of the money's gone into cost share, and we certainly understand the need to have cost share to work with individual farmers, and some of the funding has gone into watersheds. And we have some great efforts being done in the watersheds to address the threats to water quality. We have great efforts being done by individual farmers. But we're talking about 1,000 or 2,000 farmers. We're talking about a couple hundred thousand acres. We have 20 million acres of row crops. It's a much different magnitude. We need to address the larger problem. I think the urgency and the threat means we're going to need to spend more money than a couple million dollars. I agree it may seem like a lot of money, but the magnitude of the problem demands that we really up the attention and the appropriations, which can be done through a variety of sources, of which actually IWIL could also help direct additional funds into water quality.
If you've just joined us, we're talking about environmental issues and priorities in our legislature with Ralph Rosenberg, Executive Director of the Iowa Environmental Council. Want to throw in a note here that we extended an invite to the governor's office to talk about environmental priorities. They declined our invitation. We have an invite out to you as well to join our conversation, telling us what you think should be Iowa's legislative priorities for environmental issues. 1-866-780-9100. Let's go to Wayne. Wayne, where are you calling from?
Goodell, Iowa.
Wayne from Goodell. Hi, Wayne. What's on your mind in terms of the environment? What should be happening?
Well, right now the DNR is threatening us. We have to put in a sewer system. And I agree, we pollute the Iowa River. The DNR has threatened to fine the city of Alexander $5,000. It was either a day or a week, or it's $5,000 and over a period of time. I'd like to know, outside of Goodell, we've got a million chickens. And where does that wash water go that they wash the manure off the chicken eggs?
Mm-hmm.
The farmers now, they're tiling tremendous amount of acres, okay? They're putting manure on that ground. When it rains, that water, the excess water that's not absorbed, goes down through the soil, into the tile, and into the river. Now, I'd like to know how hundreds of thousands of hogs don't produce as much waste and pollution as what 100 people in Goodell do in a year's time.
Okay, Wayne, we've got the picture. So do we have two different measuring devices for cities and human waste and for agricultural waste, Ralph Rosenberg?
Well, you know, we're a private nonprofit. So, Wayne, thanks for calling. You know, I can't speak for the Department of Natural Resources. A couple things is that this nutrient reduction strategy we talked about tries to address both non-point source, like from traditional ag, use, as well as point source from cities or industry. So the nutrient reduction strategy does try to address the threats of polluting our waters from both sources. The other thing that Wayne, I think, talked about was from hogs or confinement areas. And actually, the Federal Clean Water Act already partially covers the water treatment and the wastewater from our CAFOs, our concentrated animal feeding operations. The sewer systems their system needs to be complied with as well. I think one of the things that we talk about is that the water quality is an urban and a rural threat, and both urban and rural people use our water for drinking and for recreation. The nutrient strategy does talk about both, and so we say we need to have solutions to cover both. It's just that over 80-85% of the threats to our water comes from non-point source comes from the ag community.
And our caller is describing a situation where there's manure on the ground and there's tiling, and tiling is an avenue for it to get into the groundwater. Right. But this sounds like the very thing that the lawsuit is about, right?
Well, the lawsuit deals with the drainage districts in and the areas of the state that drain into the sources of the drinking water for 500,000 citizens. It has to do with, we look at, I think many individual farmers are responsible, but it's the cumulative effect. And so I think what we're seeing, and in terms of changing policy, in terms of funding, is how do you deal with a magnitude of this problem? So, you know, Wayne talked about one sewer system, and Wayne talked about one situation with one farm. I think that shows that we need to have sustainable funding. We need to make sure that money is spent well, and it needs to be done at a magnitude that's really going to take care of the problem. And a couple million dollars a year is not going to help Wayne's backyard, and it's not going to help just one watershed. So perhaps it's a good effort to explain that there's probably other examples of threats to drinking water or recreational water around the state. And that's why you need to have a larger sense of sustainable funding. And of course, as we talk about, we also want to make sure there's monitoring and accountability, and we'd like to have some timelines in order to ensure people are accountable.
Since you're bringing up adequate funding, we haven't talked very much about the Iowa Land Water and Land Legacy Sales Tax. I don't think anyone thought that that could, this is a 3/8 of a penny sales tax increase, and they've just raised the gas tax through a lot of hand-wringing. I don't think anyone expected that to happen next year, but what do you think are the prospects for, I mean, nobody expected it to happen this year. What do you think are the prospects for next year?
If the legislature follows the will of the majority of the public, as according to the polls I've read, I think it should pass. If people look at the number of the rivers and lakes and streams that are falling short in terms of water quality, it should pass. But in terms of the political realities, I've been around long enough. I mean, I don't know. 63% of the Iowans voted for it in 2010. From what I can tell, I think at least 63% want it funded this year. But I don't know about the political reality, Joyce.
Well, what about, just to be fair, the constitutional amendment that passed, as I understand it or remember it, it was anytime the sales tax would be increased, 3/8 of a cent would go to this Iowa Water and Land Legacy Fund. So I think it's a little bit misleading to say the voters voted for this, because what the bill would do this year is just flat out raise the sales tax 3/8 of a cent.
Right. Thanks, Joyce. And I believe I have seen polls that compared the support for the gas tax versus polls that supported raising funds through a sales tax for water and land projects. And those polls seem to be pretty strong, like through the Des Moines Register polls. So I think, Joyce, you're right. You have to separate them. But now we're facing it, how we really are going to fund this, how we're going to fund. And if people believe we need to have sustainable funding so we don't have to worry about the vagaries of the legislature, then we need to spend it. And Joyce is right. They targeted up to the first 3/8 cent of the next sales tax. And there's a lot of issues around it. But if we want the sustainable funding, I mean, that is why the people who supported raising the gas tax support that method, because it had a sustainable. Well, I think people who care about our waters and our lands and our wildlife want to have a similar type of sustainable funding.
We've got just a couple minutes left. If I could jump in here, because we've got several callers, but if we could get to one more caller. Ralph Rosenberg is Executive Director of the Iowa Environmental Council. Of course, Joyce Russell, our State House correspondent. Larry in Alcater, I'll have to ask you to make it quick, please. Larry?
I very much agree about the need for Iowa and the 3/8 percent sales tax for conservation funding. To point out how far we are behind, in 1989, the goal of REAP was $30 million that was needed. Here we are 26 years later, and now we're saying the goal of REAP is only 20. We're falling behind faster and faster. IWIL is very important. I hope that can pass soon.
Okay, Larry and Alcater, thank you for your point of view.
Thanks, Larry. Thank you. Yeah, Larry's memory is better than mine. You're absolutely right, which is one of the reasons I think we want to support funding of the scale of IWIL, which can generate maybe $150 million a year. But thanks, Larry.
And actually, they passed $25 million last year.
And they were
calling it the first time they'd ever met the goal, but now we said the goal was 30.
Okay. Perhaps a quick word from Ralph Rosenberg before we have to go about renewable energy. We haven't talked about solar or wind and legislative priorities there. Can I give you a minute to talk about that, Ralph?
Well, thank you, Ben. Yeah, we're feeling very positive about some opportunities for tax credits to continue our growth in solar and wind. We had a bipartisan bills last year, 2014, that the governor signed both in terms of expanding solar tax credit. Most Iowans know about the benefits of solar and wind in terms of jobs, good for the environment, good economy. There are two bills on the Senate side that would positively impact both solar and wind, and we're optimistic that both bills are going to get a hearing this session.
Mm-hmm. Joyce, anything else to add on the environmental menu here before we have to say goodbye?
Well, this is maybe a little too complicated, but very briefly, Mr. Rosenberg, there's a bill out there that would give a tax break to casinos. Casino money goes into the RIF fund, and that's where the environmental funding happens. And so environmentalists are concerned about this gambling tax break.
Well, we would be concerned if it looks like it's going to jeopardize the funding of what's called the Environmental First and jeopardize the funding for lakes and rivers and water trails. And I think we are very concerned about this. I mean, it sounds like it's a bill to deal with the tax treatment of gambling proceeds. Many Iowans rely upon these same benefits that may be reduced and benefits for water quality, for, again, parks, rails, if this bill passes. So we're concerned right now.
Okay, thank you very much, Ralph Rosenberg, Executive Director of the Iowa Environmental Council. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And, of course, Iowa Public Radio State House correspondent Joyce Russell, always a pleasure to spend Mondays with you.
Okay.
Until next Monday. Coming up tomorrow on this program, it's 40 years since the fall of Saigon. The final American troops left Saigon. We'll talk with the author of a book about the final harrowing hours tomorrow on the program. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer.